Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Bill Weiss is the author of 23 Minutes in Hell. It's a book that I had the privilege of publishing. In fact, in some ways, I even discovered it, heard about this message that we heard on a CD, and I actually reached out to him, visited him, and persuaded him to write this book, which we thought it might sell 25,000 copies, which is not bad in today's book environment, but it sold, are you ready for this, over 1 million copies. And it's because people are actually interested in what hell is like. And Bill Weiss has a very interesting and believable and credible insight into hell. And many people have come to Christ as a result of reading this book. So stay tuned for my exclusive interview with Bill Weiss when he was in town visiting us recently.
Regent University is one of the fastest growing universities in the nation, experiencing 21% growth from summer 2016 to summer 2017. This fully accredited university offers associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees within an innovative learning environment that includes the option of enrolling solely on campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, 100% online, or using a blend of both. Since its establishment in 1978, Regent has equipped 23,000 alumni from 125 countries to become accomplished professionals. Guided by a mission of Christian leadership to change the world, the school prepares students with the knowledge to excel and the faith to live with purpose. To learn more or request information, visit www.learn.regent.edu. That's www.learn.regent.edu.
Bill Weiss, tell me about the book and why you wrote it.
Well, 23 Minutes in Hell is a book that I wrote from an experience that I had where God gave me a vision of hell. And that's where it all started. We were at a prayer meeting, came home. I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to get a glass of water, and suddenly I was pulled out of my body, like being drawn up out of your body. And I found myself falling through the air down this long tunnel, and I landed in a prison cell in hell. So in a vision, you can actually travel. And that's what happened to me. God showed me hell in a vision. I was a Christian already. And, you know, just like Paul and John was shown heaven in a vision, in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 and 2, Paul, when he was caught up in heaven, he said, whether in the body or out of the body, he didn't know. Well, the Lord showed me that I left my body. So that's what happened. It started from that vision. And the Lord wanted me to share that vision about hell because a lot of churches aren't really teaching about it. So I point people to the scriptures. I'm just a signpost to point them to the scriptures. It's not important they believe my experience, but what I saw is already in the Bible. So I point out the scriptures so that people can know there really is a hell. It's far more severe than they have ever imagined. But the good news is not one person has to go there. God suffered a horrible death on the cross, Jesus did, to keep us out. But he gives man a free will to choose. So that's where it started with this book. And we've been traveling now for 11 years, sharing this vision with people at churches. And we've seen hundreds of thousands of people commit their lives to the Lord to get saved.
Well, that's amazing. And, you know, one of the things I like about you is that you do point people to the scriptures. And, of course, I know this book well because we had the privilege of publishing it. Thank you very much.
Oh, I was honored.
You know, before we published it, we also vetted it, and we vetted you because we didn't know what to think.
Right.
But there was something that rung true, and then as I read the manuscript, you know, you would talk about scriptures, rather obscure scriptures, because most of the scriptures on hell really are kind of obscure. You know, They're not the kind that you memorize in Sunday school.
Right.
And I would think, you know, I've read that somewhere before. And when you describe the prison cell or whatever you're describing, I think, well, that fits in with the scripture, but I never really thought of it that way. So a lot of people have really, really connected with this book.
Right.
It started off slow, but it sold well over a million copies. And now you have this ministry that goes everywhere, and you're doing media all the time. So tell us a little bit about your experiences in talking to people and what people come up and say to you when they meet you.
Well, we've been, first of all, invited to churches, and we've been on the radio and so forth and explaining this topic of hell, but it stimulates a lot of questions in people's minds about, okay, if hell is really that severe, well, then how could a loving God send people to hell? Or how could he allow somebody to suffer in hell? Or, you know, if you live 70, 80, 90 years of your life, Does that deserve an eternity of punishment, your sinful lifestyle, if you're not a Christian? Why should you be in hell for all eternity? And is hell eternal? What about the guy in the jungle that never heard the gospel before? These type of questions come up, and so we answer and address those questions, and we have in our latest book, 23 Minutes in Hell, the 10-year edition, we've addressed those answers very specifically, because there's questions specifically, because there are solid biblical answers to those questions.
When you're in churches and people come up and you have a question and answer period, what are the most common questions that they ask you?
Well, the most common is, you know, how can God allow a good person to go to hell? And of course, the Bible says there's none good, no, not any. So that's the wrong concept that they have, that a good person will get you to heaven. And so we try to address that and explain it. And even an analogy helps people understand, because first of all, the scripture says that there's none good, that we can't go to heaven. God's standard of good and ours are two different things. James 2:10 says if we offend his law in one point, we're guilty of all. If we lie once, if we steal one thing, if we have one lustful thought. There's even a scripture in Proverbs 24:9 that says even the thought of foolishness is a sin. That's a pretty high standard. So see, God's standard is much higher than ours. So people have to understand that it's not man's standard of good. It's God's standard of good. And we're not perfect. We're far from it. So we cannot get into heaven by being good. Good won't get you. That's the wrong precept.
Why do you think that God gave you this vision? Because, you know, you're in real estate for many years, you're minding your own business, you're not a flamboyant person, and then all of a sudden you had this, you know, incredible experience, and now you're in the ministry and ministering. And why you instead of someone else?
You know, I asked the Lord that even, and I never got an answer. So I'm the least likely. I just was a realtor. I wasn't a Billy Graham, just minding my own business. And I love the Lord all my life. I had been a dedicated Christian at the church and a worship leader and so forth. But I never had an answer from the Lord. But I think it's just because the Lord knows that I love the Word of God, and I would just point people to the Scriptures. Just check out what the Word of God has to say so you can avoid hell just the same. It's not important they believe my experience, but really check it out, because it's a lot worse than people realize. And Jesus said in Matthew 7, many are going there and few are going to heaven. People have to realize that. And when you understand that as a Christian, you'll be, number one, much more appreciative of your own salvation from what you were saved from. Number two, it will cause people to walk more in the fear of the Lord. You know, a lot of Christians live compromised lifestyles today, and they think, you know, I'm fine, you know, and they play around with sin. But Jesus said in Mark 9:47, if your eye offends thee, the word offend means causes you to sin, he said, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than into hell fire. So he's telling you, if you're playing around with a sinful lifestyle, you're in danger of hell fire. So it'll give you that urgency. And Proverbs 16:6 says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So when you understand how severe hell is, you'll be more apt to walk the straight walk and not live compromised and be obedient to the word, because we serve a loving, good God and you don't want to offend him. Number three, it'll give Christians more of a passion for the lost, a desire to witness. When you see how severe it is, you'll think, man, I didn't know it was that bad. I've got to warn my family, my friends. I've got to do something maybe above and beyond what I normally would do and reach out to them, maybe pray and fast, you know, and really take more effort. 2 Corinthians 5:10 and 11, Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, even though the scripture is talking about the judgment seat, the reward seat for Christians, most of the commentaries agree that he was also talking about judgment and hell in general. So when you understand judgment and hell in general, you will be more persuasive with men. You'll take more effort. And you don't want to see anybody, especially your family, to go to this horrible place.
You know, this is causing me to remember some of the early days where I got to know you and got to know about this. My wife is actually the one that discovered it, because she was visiting a ministry in Kansas City, and they had a CD of when you administered there. And somebody told her it was very popular, and so she got it out of curiosity, listened to it, and said to me, you know, we need to contact this person. And when I did, I found out that you had actually had this experience maybe 7 years before. Am I remembering correctly?
Correct. I only told one close friend. I didn't want to share this with anybody. I shared with my best friend. He said, would you come to my Bible study? I went reluctantly 3 months later. Well, it spread from there. So for the next 7 years, we began getting invited around the country. We would pay our own way. We never took one penny from anybody for 7 years. Then after that, that's when your wife contacted us and said, we'd like to write a book. And I thought, well, who would buy my book? I'm not anybody important, you know.
And of course, anytime you have a book like this, there's a credibility issue. You know, there have right. been people who have claimed to have had out-of-body experiences to go to heaven
right.
that later were shown that they kind of made them up. Now,
right.
I believe that many of them are also valid. So the first thing we had to decide was, are we vulnerable to this? But when I got to know you and you had such credibility and you were in Chuck Smith's church and all these things, you gave a lot of credibility. And I can remember even in some of our editorial meetings, we said, he's a real estate person, you know?
Right.
He's, you know, I mean, how can you be more responsible than being a real estate person?
Right. I own my own company. I've been in the business for a long time. And I was a Christian for 28 years at that point. And not given over to these type of things. I'm very conservative as a person by nature. So this was way out of my comfort zone to even experience something like this. And I didn't want to do it. I pretty much had to be drugged, but I understood the Lord wanted me to go. And now we've been so blessed to see so many thousands get saved. It doesn't matter if I feel uncomfortable. It's important for people to see what the Word of God has to say and avoid this horrible place.
Tell us about some of the emails that you got when people would buy your book in Walmart and they would email you. I just remember you sharing that with us in the past. I thought it was fascinating.
We've had so many, literally thousands of stories of people where their entire lives have changed. They were walking in Walmart. They didn't know why they went to the book area. And sometimes in cases, the book even flew off the shelf in front of them and falling on the floor. I mean, really obvious things. And they would pick it up and read it, and they would share with their family. Their whole family got saved. Many of the people that were going to commit suicide did not commit suicide. They read the book and gave their heart to Jesus. And we met them years later at churches and so forth. And they said, I just want to thank you. I would have been in hell. I was going to commit suicide, but I read your book and it changed my whole life. Many of them have gotten into the missionary field and became missionaries full time. That's how much it's influenced so many people.
And I know that you have helped us. We've worked with you to give this book to lots of prisons.
Yes.
And am I correct in saying that it's been given to virtually everyone on death row? What are some stories that have come back from that?
Well, we've had so many that were, really, of course, depressed being on death row and so forth that we've heard about through the chaplains and so forth that they realized, well, I was going to go to hell. And that would have been much worse than the death row experience. But they read the book prior to and they got saved and now they weren't dreading dying so much. And also they read about that there were prison cells in hell and they were depressed that they were, say, some prisoners in for life. But now they thought, you know what, at least I'll be out of here and I'll be in heaven, where before they would have been in a prison cell for all eternity. It's really affected a lot of prisoners to commit their hearts to Jesus. And some prisons have it as required reading. I mean, it's been amazing to us. And so many stories we've been told. One lady, real quickly, I don't know how much time to tell this, but a lady had a ward of 9 women. And one of the women was in there for being abused by men. And she was bitter. And she had wrote a journal about how she was going to kill all these men when she got out of prison. And the warden snuck the book into the prison. This lady read it. She got saved and led all 9 people to the Lord in the prison and tore up her journal and gave her heart to Jesus. So it's really dramatically affected a lot of people. And so we're very honored to do and continue to go travel around the country and see people get saved and Christians woken up to be more passionate for the lost, have a heart for the lost.
Bill Weiss, your book, 23 Minutes in Hell, talks about what hell is like from a vision that you had a number of years ago in which
right.
you saw hell. So describe to me and my listeners what hell is like.
Well, first I saw this large open cavern area, and then I was placed into an actual prison cell in hell. But it was more like a dungeon, filthy, stinking, smoke-filled, but literal stone walls and bars. And there's scripture for all that to describe this in the Bible. There were demons in this cell assigned to me to torment me. And they had the most ferocious demeanor and extreme hatred for God and for man. And they have no mercy over you whatsoever. I noticed I had no strength in my body. You're completely void of any physical strength. And they have much greater strength than you do anyway, but you have no ability to even fight them off. They can torment you. I was tormented, my flesh torn open and so forth, picked up and thrown into the wall of this prison cell. About this time, it went dark in this prison cell. It was God's presence there to illuminate it so I could see. But then he withdrew his light, and it resumed its normal state of absolute pitch black darkness. I was placed over next to this large raging pit of fire where I could see thousands of people inside this pit burning. This pit was about a mile across with people kept at a distance from each other, so you have never have any conversation again, no fellowship, no talking, nothing. You're just in torment burning and demons tormenting people. There were snakes. I saw snakes crawling all over everything and maggots. But remember, Jesus said, where their worm dies not. He used the word maggot. Isaiah 14:11 says, where the maggot will be spread under thee and the worm will cover thee. There's real literal maggots tormenting people and eating at their flesh and so forth. You're hungry. You never get to eat. The thirst, just like the rich man in Luke 16 that Jesus described, he wanted a drop of water. One drop of water wouldn't suffice in this life, but in hell it would. You do anything for just one drop that you'll never get. The screams in hell are so loud and deafening, extremely loud with all these people screaming. You want to get away from that, but you never get to escape the sounds of hell. It's so loud. The stench is the most foul, putrid, disgusting odors, worse than any open sewer. And remember, Jesus rebuked the foul spirits, Mark 9:25. Demons have a disgusting odor to them. Also, the smell of burning sulfur. And if you go to Hawaii to the volcano, they have signs posted where you cannot go past a certain point because the toxicity of the burning sulfur coming up will kill you if you breathe it. It's called sulfur dioxide. Well, sulfur is just another word for brimstone, and the word brimstone is all through the Bible. So you're breathing in this foul, putrid, disgusting air and the smell of rotting flesh and burning flesh and so forth. But there's not enough air to breathe in hell. You have to fight and gasp for any, even the tiniest bit of oxygen. I understood I was down deep in the earth. There's 49 scriptures that talk about where the current location is, but I understood that. There's different levels of torment and degrees of punishment. I understood that, but there is no comfortable, tolerable level in hell. And again, you understand the worst part of hell is that you understand you're never, ever going to escape this place. Isaiah 38:18 says, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth. And then when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, they have no hope for him because it's too late. And that's the worst part of hell, understanding you're not going to get out. No one's going to come rescue you. You'll never see your loved ones again, and you have no finality with your family. You don't get to say goodbye. And they don't know that you still exist. See, death does not mean cease to exist. Death means separation from God. You still exist in this horrible place. And it's really real, just like Jesus talked about. There's 46 verses Jesus talked about hell. So he warned people there really is a hell. He doesn't want anybody to go there. But because he loves man, he gives them that free will to choose.
Did you study this before? Did you go to Bible school or anything like that? I mean, you've been a Christian for many years, mm-hmm. as I've been. I've never studied hell other than your book. So how have you learned all this?
Well, during that first 7 years before the book came out, I wanted to see the scriptures. If everything I saw was truly true, it would be in the Bible. So I began researching the scriptures, reading the commentaries on it so I wouldn't take them out of context. And I studied for 7 years, all the verses and everything. And there's over 250 verses that talk about hell, destruction, its location, and so forth. So I itemized all those in the books that you produced. So I didn't study it before those 7 years. I was a Christian. I was glad I wasn't going there. I knew it was fiery, but that's about all I knew. So since then, I have studied it and found out all these things about hell. And, you know, the reason why hell's so horrible, though, is to point this out to people. They have to understand why hell is so horrible, because people say, why would God make such a horrible place? But he said why in Matthew 25:41. He said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. He never intended for man to go there. He used the word prepared, though, the same word he used in John 14:2, where he goes to prepare a place for us in heaven. He was preparing heaven for us, hell for the devil. But hell is terrible because God's withdrawn on his goodness. See, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, James 1:17 says. So the good things we enjoy in life come from God. It's not automatic. But God withdrew his goodness. Hell's dark because 1 John 1:5 said God is light. There's only death in hell because John 1:4 said God is life. There's only hatred in hell because 1 John 4:16 said God is love. There's no mercy in hell because Psalms 36:5 said the mercy of the Lord is in the heavens. There's no strength in hell because Psalms 18:32 said it's the Lord that gives us strength. There's no water in hell because Deuteronomy 11:11 says water is the rain of heaven. And there's no peace in hell because Isaiah 9:6 says he is the Prince of Peace. So see, if God removes himself from the situation, all the good goes with him. You can't have the good without God. You can't separate the two. So that's why hell is so horrible. It's a place where God has withdrawn his attributes, the goodness we enjoy from him.
If somebody wanted more information, of course, your book is available on Amazon and some of the other digital platforms, but also in many, many stores just because it has continued to sell so well. But if they wanted to find your book, they could. But what if they wanted to find out about you or your ministry? How would they contact you?
We have a website, 23minutesinhell.org, the numeral 23, or soulchoiceministries.org. So they can write us, and we have all the information up there. We have many videos they can view and so forth, and we have all the books listed and so forth. So we would write them back, and they want to contact us.
And when you minister in churches all over, many, many states, I guess.
We've been everywhere.
Yeah, have you even gone outside the United States to minister?
Yes, we've been outside, sure, all around the world.
And you've said that many people come to the Lord. When you minister, what do you say to people to get them to accept the Lord and do it now for my listeners, for somebody who's out there listening who hasn't accepted the Lord?
Well, I explain them quickly. In Revelation 20:15, it says, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." There actually is a book God has, and if you want your name in His book, all you have to do is do two things. Repent, that means ask God to forgive you of your sins, and acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and invite Him in your heart. If you want to do that, then just say this after me, this prayer. Say, "Dear God in heaven, I know that I've sinned, and I cannot save myself. I believe You sent Your Son to die on a cross for me, that He was crucified, died and was buried, but rose again and lives forevermore. I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. Come into my heart. I receive You as my Lord and Savior. You are the Son of God. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. Thank You for taking me to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen." Now, if you said that prayer, you invited the Lord into your heart. You're a Christian. You don't have to fear hell. You're going to heaven now. And your whole life, this is just the beginning, inviting the Lord into your heart. But it's a commitment. There's more than just acknowledging Jesus as Son of God. It's now you're committing your heart to Him, giving your life, and you're turning away from a sinful lifestyle and agreeing to follow Jesus. That's what it means to be born-again Christian.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and I hope that you will tune in again for the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.